Second Samuel chapter 2. Second Samuel chapter 2. Shall I go up? Inquiring after the Lord. We are considering the time of prayer. What is it? Much of our prayer is inquiry as to what, how, when, where, right? Shall I go up? Here's the question that is being asked. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said, unto Hebron. Not only did David inquire as to whether he should go up, but he inquired as to where, right? Now, the Word of God, this Bible, has a lot of good instruction in it, right?
Yes.
For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine? Reproof? Correction? Instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Well, then why did David have to inquire if he should go up, and if so, where he should go? It's simply because that God's providence is not always revealed, is it? In fact, the providence of God is never revealed. So we have to ask, don't we? It's mandatory, in fact, that we ask. If we don't ask, then what? You shall not receive, right? You're not going to receive. But ask and ye shall receive. So, it's a good thing to ask, isn't it? In chapter 5, 2 Samuel chapter 5, again in verse 17, but when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? Again, a two-part prayer, right?
Yes.
Shall I go up unto the Philistines, and then, Lord, will I prevail against them? Will you deliver them into mine hands? Now, some might think, well, you know, if God said go up unto the Philistines, that would be enough, right?
Yeah.
But it's not. So David, in his wisdom that God had given to him, he asked again, and will you deliver them, the Philistines, into mine hand? And again, David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth. The Lord hath broken forth. You know, it's just everything depends upon God, doesn't it? Everything. What about, let's turn over then to Judges chapter 20. I guess we'll begin with verse 18 here. And the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God. That's a good thing, isn't it? And asked counsel of God and said, which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. And the children of Israel rose up in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin, and the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. Whoa, wait a minute. Lord, we inquired of you, shall we go up against Benjamin, and who's going to go first? And the Lord said, well, Judah's going to go up first. Judah's go up first. Then why is it, wait a minute, then they get beaten down in battle? Was God unfaithful? No. Just as we read a while ago, David not only inquired that he should go up, but he also inquired as to whether or not God would deliver into his hands. You see the importance of both questions? Now, verse 23, and the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until even, and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I go up again to battle against the children of Benjamin my brother? And what was the answer of the Lord? Go up against them. So what happens? The children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second day. And Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel again 18,000 men. Wait a minute. We even wept before you. Right? We inquired of you and you said, go up against them. But again, they failed to ask the second question. And they failed to understand and humble themselves before God. They were presumptuous. We've got this great army, and we're going up against an unrighteous people. So in verse 26, then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came into the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until even and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the ark of the covenant of God was there in those days, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days. And they were saying, shall I yet again go up to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease? And now the Lord says, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thine hand. So it's not enough just to pray. We need a reason for praying, and we need to pray in a right fashion, a right manner. First Samuel, chapter 23, again, David is going before the Lord. Verse 2, therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite those Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. So David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the enemy armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. The sure promises of God, and this is a part of what the scripture talks about, the sure mercies of God unto David. Then in chapter 30 and verse 8, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So it's important that we inquire of the Lord in wisdom, isn't it? We have things that come up in our lives that require an answer from God. You just don't know, do you? Shall I turn to the right hand, Brother Jerry? Or shall I turn to the left hand?
Sometimes always want to turn to the right hand.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point. That's always our original thinking, isn't it? But sometimes God says, no, turn to the left. In other words, many times what seems like is right to us is not right to God. That goes back to our message the last two Sundays, right? Because our thoughts are not His thoughts, and our ways are not His ways. But what if God tells us to do a certain thing, or not to do a certain thing? What are we going to do?
Hopefully what He tells us to do, we're not going to do. Said wait.
Yeah. If He gives us an instruction, then that's the thing to do, isn't it? And also, yeah, JT, we need to wait on Him. The best example of that, of course, is Saul, right? King Saul.
He didn't
wait for Samuel. Yeah, I mean, things were pressing in on him all right enough. I mean, things were not looking good at all for Saul. So he said, I forced myself. Well, the very fact that he said he forced himself is plenty obvious that he knew what he ought to do, but he did not do that. Oh, how many times? So, it's an amazing thing. In 1 Kings chapter 22, and here we have Jehoshaphat has gone down to visit his counterpart in Israel, right? Ahab has and Jehoshaphat are together, and Ahab wants to know if Jehoshaphat will go to battle with him against Ramoth Gilead, right? And so Jehoshaphat, verse 5, 1 Kings 22, verse 5, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Good idea, right? Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? Now, it's a good question, right? Both of them. And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Well, it's a good question, but to whom did he ask it? Good inquiry. Shall I go up or shall I forbear? But who was he asking?
The false prophets.
Yeah, the false prophets. Well, what kind of an answer do you expect he's going to get?
The only thing they could offer that was a false answer.
A false answer. And that's exactly what they did, didn't they? And the amazing thing is that somehow Jehoshaphat realized it, didn't he? And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord? Now Jehoshaphat evidently knew that these were false prophets. Right?
Yes.
Because he said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? Again, not them, right? But of him. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
One man against 400, right? But again, it always brings back to mind what old Pastor B.R. used to say, one man in God constitutes a majority. But a 400 without God, what does that constitute? A false prophet, see? So, does it matter, does it? And the king of Israel said, there's yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him. How about that? Why does he hate him? For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Now, you know, you understand that's why we're not full chairs here today. That's not why we don't have to build a bigger building to meet in, and so forth and so on. It's because they hate the truth. They hate it.
The light has come into the world. They love darkness.
Darkness rather than light. Yes, absolutely. So,
a friend of mine said, truth is hate to those who think the truth.
Yes. And it's so simple, and yet it's so profound, isn't it? And Jehoshaphat says, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And so they go and they get Micaiah, right? But verse 13, it says, and the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Well, that sounds like democracy, doesn't it? Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Uh-oh. Sound like Micaiah's caved in, doesn't it? But he's being facetious, isn't he? He's using a little bit of, not a little bit, but a great deal of sarcasm here. So, but isn't this amazing? And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? So, once again, the king Ahab, he knows. He knows. Not only does he know that Micaiah is being facetious about this, but he knows the truth. He didn't have to really inquire about anything at all. He knew that he should not go up against this king. So Micaiah tells him the truth, doesn't he? And we know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would put it. We know the rest of the story because they go up anyway. Micaiah tells him, though, why and how he's going to be convinced to go up against this king. This other adversary, he says, he tells him that God is going to put a spirit, a lying spirit, in the mouth of his prophets. But it doesn't deter Ahab at all, does it? But again, we know the rest of the story, how that one of the enemies, what does he do? Just puts an arrow in his bow and shoots it. We used to have a little rhyme, or kind of a rhyme. It says, I shot an arrow into the air. It fell to the ground, I know not where, and so forth and so on. I can't remember it exactly. But did that come from this incident? That little rhyme come from this incident? I don't know. Maybe so. But isn't it amazing? No. Verse 34, and a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. So, here is all the workings, you see, of God. Shall I forbear? Well, it's a good question. But he did not heed, didn't heed the advice at all, did he? He knew the truth, but he just simply ignored it. And why is that? Because his heart was hardened, right? You see, God today is sending forth a spirit of lies. And where is it coming from? It's coming from the mouth of the false prophets. Jeremiah chapter 44. verse 15, then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Oh, for then we had what? Oh, plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. Again, just like it is today, right? We're just rejoicing in all the good things that God is doing for us today. They're not worshiping God. The God that they're saying, God bless America, is not the God of the Bible. It's not the God of the Bible. And I'll say it again, it's not the God of the Bible. It's a God of their own imagination. Now, I have a purpose for bringing this in this fashion. We are a dwindling group, a dwindling congregation. Someday, maybe it's now, maybe we need to start inquiring of God. What are we going to do? I don't know. Do you? Have you thought about it? I mean, we're getting old. Nancy White says it's just a thing of the mind. But mind's not a thing of the mind only. It's a thing of the body. It's a thing of reality.
Yeah, what? General
history,
man,
80
years
old.
Yeah.
And then I next saw him, here died a couple weeks ago. The next door neighbor told us. He moved here.
Well, he moved here to die, that's what he said.
I thought that she told me when I was here that they were from California. He thought they were from Alaska or somewhere, so it doesn't matter. But he moved here to have peace and rest, so he might, he had heart problems like that. And he lived a while.
Well,
the thing is,
God, if God does not add to us, how long are we going to go on?
I don't know, I'll get in here, but I'll just think about Sister
J.G. having
to drive so much.
Sister Joyce is thinking that she can't come anymore. We thought we had one in Freda, but I'm not sure that that's going to happen. And Brother Dale has moved off to West Texas, and again we're having a decrease. I hope and pray and trust that Joel will bring his family and continue faithfully, but it scares me. Because I've seen it happen too many times before. That people that you think are going to be faithful, circumstances arise in their lives and and they're not faithful anymore. But we need to begin, I believe, to inquire of God and ask Him to send us people, bring people in that love the Lord. Because if we don't, then it's inevitable. So let's pray. I know there's so many other things too that are on our hearts and minds. And we need to pray about those things. But I just want us to pray to God to see if He will not bring us some God-fearing, God-loving people. There's not many of them today. And churches are closing down. They're shutting the doors. What happened? Why did Frieda come here to begin with? Because that church shut its doors. What about Pine Grove? Where's Pine Grove today? It's no more.
Mill Road, same one.
It's and we know of others in the Primitive Baptist. I mean, that little Primitive Baptist church right down the road from where we were on Huntsmith Thorville.
I can't see my name. It's all gone.
It's all gone. Even the building is gone. The one on West Little York that Brother Marvin attended at one time, where is it? It's gone. And how many others they've gone? So we cannot be presumptuous about these things, and we need to inquire of the Lord in everything about our lives. Really, we need to inquire of the Lord. So you know, let us pray and seek the will of God. If it is the will of God, then rejoice. And I think about this. I think about it a lot. I think about, you know, if we did disband, where would we go? Where would each one of us, where would we go? It's almost like Christ asking, well, will you go away also? And the answer is, well, where would we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life. I am thankful that God has given us His word. But Lord, send us some people that love You, that will be able to sustain. I mean, I'm hopeful that JT and Betty and Jerry and Linda and myself and Bruce, I'm hopeful that God will give us more years. Well, all of us. Well, you're part of me, so whatever. But I'm hopeful that God will give us more years. But even if he does, I mean, we're going to lose some of the ability that we have. I mean, I'm telling you, I felt it today. When I know, for instance, when I know a song, when I know the tune to it, and I can't bring it to mind. And a lot of times now, when I know a scripture, and I have problems, you know, finding it or thinking about, well, where is that scripture? I know that those people in the Philippines, they've called me the walking Bible because I was able to recall these scriptures just after scripture after scripture after scripture. But that's getting soon going to be to the point where they can't call me that anymore. Why? Because I'm getting to where I don't have the ability to do it. I don't care. I can't will it up. And so, you know, infirmities overtake us. So let's pray. Inquire of the Lord. He is our answer.
Our most kind, gracious, and glorious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come this day to ask you that you would first humble us, Lord, and teach us to be humble. Teach us, Lord, then to pray for what we ought to pray for. Help us, O Lord, as we go through this life not knowing these things, and help us, Lord, that we might rest upon you, that we might wait. But again, Lord, give us that desire that we might also grow first in grace and in knowledge. Mm-hmm. Lord, then in numbers, that we might fellowship one with another, that we might show our love one to another. Lord, we do wonder at times why we are so few in number, and then I try to judge ourselves. And look, Lord, if it be those things with us that need correcting. But if there be, Lord, we pray that you would also work that out with us. Lord, that you might cause us, Lord, to seek thee more day by day.
Yes.
Lord, there, all of us are sure they are growing old. Sometimes we wonder how fast that has come upon us. Mm. We seem like just yesterday we were young, and now we're old, and then we understand why you have told us to serve while you're young before these calamities come upon us. Lord, when we still have a bright mind, we have those things that would be good for the people. Lord, now we ask that you bless those that are not here today, those that are detained and those that are sick, or that they might be brought back to us once again, because our numbers are so few that we desire that all would be here, that we might fellowship with them.
Yes.
Now, Lord, if you not go with us, we don't want to go. But Lord, direct us always in the way that you have us go. Continue to lead us. May the cloud be over us in the day and the fire by night, that we might walk in a surety of your coming the second time. Lord, now grant unto us those things that are necessary that we grow. Grant unto us, Lord, those numbers that we'd like to see. We would see people once again saved and revived and be brought back to life. of life. Now grant these things, Lord, in thy mercy, if it be thy will. For these things we ask in thy name, for thy sake. Amen.
Our Father, our God, we do know that all things are of you. That you are the one known creator of all that exists and will ever exist. Lord, we know that you have a purpose in all that exists. And Lord, we know sin is in this creation. It is overruled, and that sin does bring an end to life.
Yes.
Lord, we know that David was of God who died. Solomon, the same thing. There were 12 apostles. Many disciples. They had a beginning. They had a end. And Lord, we know that Jesus said he would build his church. And Lord, we see we are a part of it. And we see what has happened in our day. As was mentioned, we know of churches that are no longer here.
Mm-hmm.
We know of who are no longer here.
Yes.
And even in this group, in the throne, and in this church.
Yes.
And you know about two of us there. Lord, we do not know the future.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, but you certainly do. And Lord, we do lift up our voices to you and ask that you do this. Bring us more of your kingdom. Lord, that we can share our fellowship with them, that we can be a blessing to them and that they can be a blessing to us. Lord, and there is nothing sweeter, there's nothing more enjoyable than to talk about the things of God, the saints of God. And it's only the saints of God who enjoy talking about the things of God. We have your word, and we praise you and thank you for your word. And it's the foundation for all of your work.
Yes.
And Lord, there's nothing more important in our possessions than that word. Lord, that none of us fully understand all that's in there. Lord, we all are still hungry and thirsty. We need to know more of you and to become more and more like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We do need. We do need each other. We do need a place where we can gather together. And we all, Lord, I'm the youngest one here. I'm 70 years old.
Yeah.
The youngest one here. What is going to be come from us? The rest of this year, next year, 5 years from now.
Oh.
Lord, I have thought of it. Where would I go? This church wasn't here. Where would I go? I'd be like our brother Mike Sarasota.
Not find the church to go to?
Oh, God.
Lord, what a stressful thing that is. But yet it is.
Lord, how difficult it is for us to wait on the Lord. Lord, we ask that you would give us that spirit of patience and seeking you and not being weary of it and not losing hope and faith. But knowing that you are bringing the past, your purpose for all of creation. And Lord, we know, as was mentioned this morning, your ways are not our ways. Our ways aren't your ways, Lord. That your ways are always. It can be nothing but righteous.
Amen.
And holy and just. You are our God of love. Lord, but I think of that often because I think that's the summation of who and what you are.
Yes.
And there's not one of us that does not want that.
Oh,
Lord. That's what we come to put, Lord, is the marriage bed that's in the church.
Yeah.
And we ask that you would keep our minds on the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
And not caught up in these things that have happened around us, and there's many things happening to us. And we struggle. But we do. Light ourselves in the time of your invitation. For your mercy is in your grace.
Amen.
We ask you, Lord, that you bless us who are not here today. And ask that you bless your people everywhere. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, as we continue, Father, we my prayer is that you've heard all of our prayers. You've heard our inquiries. And you know the feelings of our being and of our mind and our heart, Father. Father, we desire
that
this is not the only place that you have for us. But Father, we plead with you, Father, if you would reach out and bring others into us. And Father, that we might have that fellowship with others that are not here. But Father, we pray, we certainly pray that these folks that might come into us, Father, that belong to you, and not just to the world, Father, we pray that they are yours and they desire to serve you and be your servants, Father. We desire that.
Yes.
Father, we certainly thankful for the scriptures, for the word of God that we have heard here, Father. We've learned many different truths, Father, that we desire to share that with others that you might bring into us.
Yeah,
yeah. Lord, we don't know
ooh,
how to work this. Father, we don't know how to proclaim and spread the gospel to those that you might have for us. We need your direction, Father.
Amen.
We need you to send us to the right people, to the right places, and to pray the right prayer that we might study and read the gospel, Father, that we might share it in the midst of our neighborhoods, in the midst of our families. Father, that word that you have for us, it's written in this scripture, might be shared, Father, and that we might plead. And Father, we pray that, Father, you'll do the work. And we know that you will. We can't do the work. We plead with you, Father, to send some that we might glorify and please you. That they might glorify and please you.
Yes.
Dear Heavenly Father, wherever we might go in this life, may we be your servants. That we might tell others about Christ. That we might be your servants there in that place. Wherever it might be. Whether it's on your job, whether it's in the neighborhood, whether it's in the hospital, wherever it might be, Father,
yes.
May we get on the telephone and talk to those that have been here before. That we might tell them how much we miss them. And we do miss those when they're not here. Father, we certainly pray for Joel and his family, Father. We pray that they will be strengthened by thy Spirit, that they might be encouraged by you, O Lord. We like the idea of them having their own place and home, Father. We certainly pray, Father, that they will enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
That it will be good for them. Whatever transpires, Father, we desire them to be here on Sunday.
Amen.
So we ask you to reach out and touch it. And Father, we pray for Freda, Father. And we know she's concerned about her daughter, whoever they might be, that she's hoping to encourage, Father. But we want her to be encouraged to be here with us.
Mm-hmm.
She has a sweet spirit. And Father, we certainly pray that we might have a good fellowship with her. We enjoy being with her. We enjoy talking with her. And Father, whatsoever she does, Father, we pray that she might desire to serve you here in this place.
Oh.
Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for Joyce Minter. Father, we know she's old. We know she's growing older. And Lord, I just hope that one day I might be that old.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we pray that whatever she says, that she might realize that she is your servant and your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
There in that place, wherever she is. Dear Heavenly Father, we just start to pray for the comfort and the strength that you give everybody here as we go forth this week, that we might strive to be careful about how we act, how we speak, and how Father, we desire not to go astray from your word, but Father, we're weak. Father, we need your strength. And Lord, we just pray that you would stand with us everywhere we go, Father, that we'll stand with you, and that we will be obedient to your every single word. Heavenly Father, just go with us this week. We pray this. All of these things in your precious name, sir. Amen.
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 Yeah. Oh, dear Father, this is all we prayer. Surely echoes the thoughts of my own mind and my own heart. And I thank you for it. And I thank you for these men who have been faithful and are faithful. And I believe by your grace that they will be found. But it still reminds us that we are growing older. And Lord, the infirmities of these bodies are not going to get any better or any fewer. And Lord, they will continue to deteriorate our old bodies, this old corrupted flesh, till the day of our death. We know not how long that will be, but we know that it cannot be very far along. That average that you have given unto man is 70 years and 10. Most of us have already passed that and long past it. But Lord, we're still here. And I hear my own doctor say, you got a strong and a healthy body. But how long, Lord, will that be? Tomorrow? Will I be struck down with some disease or some infirmity? And it goes the same for all of us.
Amen.
No matter how wonderfully you have preserved us, the day is at hand when these bodies will feel the ultimate of their infirmities and the ultimate of its corruption, and we will pass on. And if we do not pass on, yet, Lord, we will be incapacitated, at least in many degrees. We think about these things, or I do. And I think about the church here. Those of us that are here, I think about my ability to measure. How long will that be? How long will we continue to give the grace and the strength, the vitality that is needed to be the pastor, a pastor, a preacher, a teacher? Oh Lord, I don't know the answer to these things, but you do. And I just pray for wisdom to know what we should do, what we ought to do. No Lord, I do thank you. I thank you so very much for the years that have passed. Peace, with enjoyment. There has always been a measure of strife up until the last few years. But, oh God, you have blessed us with peace to a great degree. I do thank you for that. And it is according to your will that we just continue, even though there be few of us. If it is according to your will, I pray that there will be peace, peace, peace amongst us. Oh God, help us that we not be ever envious or jealous or have any kind of thoughts of strife amongst us. But, oh God, we might dwell in peace. We can't have peace in the world. But, oh God, if we're yours, we can have peace and joy and love amongst ourselves. Not be backbiting. Find fault where there's none. Oh God, not be picking and looking for faults. But oh Lord, love covered multitudes. I do pray, oh Father, that we would have the grace and the love toward one another. There really is a sin amongst us, then we would have the love and grace and the courage to correct that which is lacking. But, oh God, tell us to do it if we ever have to, in pure, holy, Christ's love. And, oh God, I pray for your direction. As we've spoken and talked about here today, providence is so necessary, so important, we cannot do without it in our lives. We're thankful that we know as much of your word as we don't, but Lord, we need your providential direction, that we might be in the place that we should be and doing that which is according to your will. Oh Lord, you know the thoughts of our hearts, the thoughts of our mind. You know the questions that arise. But you also know the unperformed, that you know the answer to all of our doubts and fears, all of our questions, all of our concerns. You know all these things before they ever arise. Lord, we need your faith. Jesus. The love of Christ. The fellowship of the Spirit. That we might know those things indeed. And of course, we give them to us up here. I don't know. I'm thankful that your Spirit intercedes for us. We don't know how to say what I need to say. We don't know how to put things in the words. You know we're in our hearts. You know what we long for. We do have so very much to be thankful for. So, Lord, again, we can't be on yesterday's mind. Today is the day of salvation. We're required to be redeemed. Help us, Father. Direct our thoughts, direct our lives, that we might walk with you always in those things that are important to your purpose. Receive us in our prayers. Thank you for us in that. Amen.
Let's close our services today, we will, with number 193. We'll sing this to the tune of From Every Stormy Wind That Blows. Begins with a question then, where is my God? Does he retire beyond the reach of humble sighs? Are these weak breathings of desire too languid to ascend the skies? And the rest of the song, the hymn, tries to answer that. May it be our closing prayer this afternoon. Where is my God? Does he retire beyond the reach of humble sighs? Are these weak breathings of desire? sincere is not forbidden to aspire, but reaches thy all gracious ear. Look up, my soul, with cheerful eye, see where the great Redeemer stands, the glorious Advocate on high, with precious incense in His hands. He sweetens every humble groan, He recommends each broken prayer, recline thy hope on Him alone, whose power and love forbid despair. Teach my weak heart, O gracious Lord, with stronger faith to call Thee mine, bid me pronounce the blissful word, my Father God with joy divine. May the Lord bless you this week with His Spirit, and the meditations be sweet in your hearts and minds. Amen.